From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. With more and more people living longer lives, the housing needs for seniors continues to grow, particularly here in Southwest Florida. There are a number of different levels of care, plus there's independent living, and more options for people who want to stay in their homes. We'll sort out all the different options available and find out if there's enough room for everyone. Plus, we'll talk with a woman who recently transitioned someone into a senior living facility about the emotional marathon of making that big move. Plus, a reporter with the Naples Daily News says Florida lawmakers are hiding millions of dollars for pet projects inside the money we set aside for our state schools. We'll talk with the reporter behind the story and an advocate for more transparent processes in Tallahassee. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. A $500,000 road to nowhere at the University of Florida. A $5 million boost to a performing arts center at the University of Central Florida. What do these projects have in common? They are just some of the multi-million dollar projects that a reporter says were snuck into the state budget without any oversight or approval, hiding among the money that our state sets aside for its universities. Later on the program, we'll speak with a reporter behind the explosive revelations, and we'll talk with a transparency advocate pushing for change in how lawmakers spend our tax dollars. But first, the specter of moving a loved one into a nursing home has been used as a literary ploy, an anecdotal reference, and even movie fodder for decades. But references to a cold, lonely institution are outmoded to the point of being almost laughable. Nowhere is that more apparent than in Southwest Florida, where seniors are encouraged to remain active and vibrant as they age in perpetual vacation destinations. But is there enough room? And is there room when these seniors' needs become more intensive? Here to talk about that is Chris Austin, a senior care manager with Lee Health. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us today is Jan Clark, who recently moved a family member into an assisted living home. She's here to share that journey with us. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you also.
We are talking about senior housing in Southwest Florida. Is there enough? And what are the different kinds of housing available? Are you an adult child of a senior that's facing this next step for your parents? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Chris, I want to start with you because it's kind of unfamiliar for a lot of people that haven't had to wade through this yet. You work with seniors and deal with senior housing all the time. What are the different kinds of living facilities that are out there?
Well, there are a number of different options. And I like to kind of think about senior housing as a continuum of care. So you would start out with the most independent type of living setting, which would be an independent living facility or community, we like to call it. And those are typically apartment complexes for people 55 and over. They're generally not licensed, as in they don't have a medical license. They don't provide medical services. But they may have amenities such as transportation services, activities, housekeeping, and sometimes utilities are included in your rent. The next level of care up from that would be an assisted living facility, or an ALF, we like to call it in the industry. And those are regulated by ACA, which is the Agency for Healthcare Administration here in Florida. And they have nursing services or medical services that are often provided or available to residents. Again, those are more like apartment settings where people live in their own individual apartments. And then there are skilled nursing facilities. Those are the most highly regulated facilities of all. And they have around-the-clock staff, nursing staff, certified nursing assistants who provide hands-on care for individuals. So those are roughly the different options that are available. And then there are different flavors of that within those
three major groups.
Right.
So assisted living, is that somebody who needs help getting around a little bit? Or help with like showering, or help taking care of themselves and getting to and from the restroom? Or is that more like the nursing, the skilled nursing?
It may be. Generally, you're paying a base rate for rent in an assisted living apartment. And then there's oftentimes a menu of services that you can add on. And those services could be medication management, having someone come in and provide reminders or provide the medication administration. It could be help with toileting, help with getting dressed in the morning, help with showering. Oftentimes meals are provided, so you're not doing any cooking anymore usually when you live in an assisted living facility.
Okay. And then there are a lot of people that want to stay home for as long as they possibly can, but it seems like that has caused another industry to kind of blossom with home health care and different services that are available for people that do want to stay in their house. And I think there are some public things available and then also private things available. Can you tell me a little bit about those two arenas?
There are. Well, in addition to home health, there are all kinds of services that you can have brought into your home, or there are services like an adult day care program that you can get transportation to and from, where it's like an adult day stay, and you can still remain living in your home but yet get some supervision and services outside of your home. With home health, there are a few different varieties of home health care models. Some are medically focused, so there may be a nurse providing oversight to the staff that come in, and usually the staff are providing some sort of hands-on care, bathing, help with dressing, eating, meal prep, that type of thing. There are agencies who provide companion care, and that's more hands-off. So it's more someone maybe with memory loss who just needs supervision while their spouse is away doing grocery shopping. It might be running errands with a client or taking them out shopping, things like that. There's skilled home care also, and that's covered under Medicare. And that's usually a time-limited, short-term service where there's a skill needed, nursing, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, et cetera.
Okay, so maybe somebody recovering from a knee replacement or something like that.
Right.
Okay. Yep,
or having some medical condition where it's a significant change from where they previously were at and they want to return to that previous level of mobility.
Mobility or ability or just, yeah, just being able to get around, which is frustrating when you can't. Jan, tell me a little bit about your story about moving your mom into Colusa Harbor. How did that go?
Well, it originally started that she lives in a mobile home park in North Fort Myers. And if you've ever been to a mobile home, you know that there's generally three concrete steps that go from the pavement up to the mobile home itself, to the door to enter the building. She had taken a fall in January and went from being independent to grow, you know, being able to go to the clubhouse and get her mail and do all those things, do light driving, get groceries and that kind of a thing. When she took the fall, what happened was is she had to go onto a walker, which made it impossible for her to enter or exit the building by herself. So she went from one small fall from independent to completely dependent. So I was going over every day to do the laundry, give her baths, grocery shopping, et cetera. And what happened was is it got to the point where she wanted to be independent. She kept repeating that. She didn't want to go to have another facility. And it got to the point where not only was she not independent, I was not independent anymore either. One day on my way back from her home to my home, I was driving over the bridge and a couple of things came to mind. One was I could be there all day long if I wanted, but in the evening when she went to bed, what happens if there's a fire? If she can't exit the building, that's the end of the story. Not only that was what happens if something happened to me? If I'm no longer in the picture and I had no other family members to help her, if I'd gotten killed in a car accident or something like that, she would have been there all by herself. She wouldn't have been able to find a facility to help take care of her. I would be at the mercy of whomever.
Probably the state.
Possibly the state, maybe neighbors.
Yeah, maybe.
You know. And that's when... And the doctor had also said the same thing. He said, going to your home is not an option. You have a small dog. She could easily trip over. You have hard tile floors. And he said the next fall could be the last fall. So the only real healthy option was to find a facility that could give her 24-hour supervision, but still provide the independence. So once she went to Colusa Harbor, instead of the limitation of those three little concrete stairs, she went to an elevator, which gave her the ability to get her own mail, to go to the restaurant by herself. There's a beauty parlor there. There's all kinds of recreation. There's three times a week, there's happy hour. She loves anything that has to do with music, so they always, you know, provide different entertainment throughout the week. And she went from dependent to independent by going to Colusa and having those having the opportunity. And not only that, but the safety factor, they have a like a life alert.
A string of color. Yeah,
the little string, you also have that option of like a wristband style, like a watch. And she has had several falls. She's punched that button. Security's been up to her room. And the next thing I know, she's already on her way to the hospital before I even knew that she had taken a fall.
That's a far cry from where she was before. How old is she?
She's going to be 89 next week.
Oh, well, happy pre-birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
So when you first brought it up to her, how did she respond?
Absolutely not. It's not going to happen. I'm staying in my home. I have enough money to take care of myself. I don't want to go there. Why are you doing this to me? Not for me, to me. Everything becomes, as the caretaker, you have the responsibility of taking care of her. But in their eyes, it's not that you're being a caretaker. You're taking away their independence.
Yeah, so you're becoming like a little dictator. You're like making them do what you want.
Exactly. Well, why are you doing this to me? And I'm like, I didn't make you have a fall. I didn't make you 89 years old. I didn't make you have a walker. It's a little thing called life. And
well, that has to be also hard for you. Didn't you have like some guilt feelings and stuff when she'd lay that on you?
The last year and a half of my life has been the most emotionally taxing years of my entire life. The responsibility. The other problem is when they're completely lucid, one of the things that the doctor said to me is in some ways you're in the worst case scenario, because if you have a little Alzheimer's or dementia, you can gently guide them to doing what you need or hope for them to do to be safe and healthy. When somebody's completely lucid, even though I have the power of attorney, all she has to do is say no, and there's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I'm guilty. I'm sad. I feel responsible. And there's just nothing. There's nothing you can do. It's a very lonely feeling. Very fortunate that another dear friend of mine is going through a similar situation with her dad, who is not he's still at home in an apartment in Naples, which is exhausting for her. And the doing part is not tiring. The bathing, the shopping, none of that.
Oh, you'll do anything for your parents.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And as I said to my mom, I said, that's not a burden. That's an honor, you know, to be able to do that. But the emotional exhaustion of worrying, did they fall during the evening? Are they eating? Are they lonely? Her only three friends when she was in the mobile home park were Dr. Phil, Ellen, and Wendy Williams. That was it. It was TV, TV, TV.
Yeah. And they're entertaining, however, not that entertaining.
Well, and the other thing was is
there's no replacement for the social outlet. And you mentioned before.
And someone her own age.
You said that she's really done well. Now that she's gotten there, she's really kind of blossomed. She's the mayor.
She's the mayor of Colusa Harbor. I mean, she knows. Within 2 weeks of her being there, Martha Davila, who's one of the sales reps, said to me, she said, Jan, there are people that have been here 3 years. Your mother knows more people in 2 weeks than she knows in 3 years. She loves it.
Yeah.
Loves it.
We are talking about senior living, housing, and nursing care with our guest, Chris Austin, who is a senior care manager with Lee Health. And we're also talking with Jan Clark about the transition of her mom into assisted living. Have you had an experience with assisted living in Southwest Florida? You can become part of the conversation by giving us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Chris, we have a thing here at WGCU, and it's called Gulf Coast Curious, and people can submit questions. And we recently had a question that kind of relates to this from Carrie. Let's have a listen.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I have a question for Curious Gulf Coast. I am curious about nursing home availability for seniors in our area and the difference of availability between skilled nursing facility for skilled rehab and long-term or custodial care.
Mm-hmm. So do you know anything about what the numbers are? I tried to look it up and had a hard time finding it.
In terms of the numbers of beds that are available, there are probably less than 50 skilled nursing facilities in Lee and Collier County. And what the caller is referring to is various facilities will divide up their beds. So let's say a skilled nursing facility has 100 beds. What they typically do is 60 of those beds are long-term beds. They're for people who are going to live the rest of their lives in long-term skilled nursing facility care or custodial care. The other 40 beds are reserved for short-term rehabilitative patients. So these are people that maybe go into the hospital, have hip surgery, have knee replacement. They go into a skilled nursing facility for up to 20 days or so, and then they rehab, they get therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy and such, and then they return to their homes. That's covered under Medicare, whereas custodial care is generally private pay, long-term care insurance, or Medicaid, different payer sources. So there are generally enough Medicare beds or those beds for the short-term rehab patients available. It's the custodial care ones that are very limited. Right. Correct.
Why is that? I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, we know we have a lot of people that are getting older, especially with the baby boomers becoming of age and getting, you know, into the 70s. And so that's going to be around the corner. And people are living a lot longer. Is there a reason for that shortage?
Limited facilities. And the reimbursement. Medicaid does not reimburse at the same rate as Medicare does for those short-term rehab patients. So, you know, skilled nursing facilities are businesses, and they need to look at being able to, you know, have a good bottom line at the end of the year. So that's why they'll limit the amount of beds available just from a financial standpoint to stay above water. And then because of that, those beds are limited. And so, you know, unfortunately, it's when someone dies, passes away, that that bed becomes available. And then sometimes even the rehab patients will move into those long-term beds. So they've got – most of these facilities have a really long wait list too. If you're looking for a convalescent bed for a long-term bed, you want to get on a wait list somewhere, definitely, and check back on that wait list frequently.
Well, what do people do in the meantime while they're waiting?
Sometimes they'll move into assisted living or get care at home. And that's the really cool thing about assisted living communities today is many people, if they move in early enough, it's like preventative care. If they move in early enough, they may never need that level of care. Skilled nursing facilities are generally for people who have considerable medical conditions that need that round-the-clock nursing care. But if you move into assisted living or even a memory care assisted living, a lot of times you can prevent those dramatic events from like a fall, a fracture, you know, a major medical event like that. And you can be cared for in assisted living until you pass away.
And there's also something to be said about the psychological impact of not being all alone in your house with, you know, Dr. Phil, Wendy Williams, and Ellen being your best friends on TV. So can you tell me a little bit about how the psychological difference is for people that are in more of a social setting than being on their own?
Right.
Well, and here it's not only on your own because a lot of people moved here from somewhere else, so they might not have a lot of family around. So it's extra on your own.
Mm-hmm. You know, for most people, there are some people who would just prefer to be by themselves. They just prefer that. But I would say for most people, we all want some contact. We want to have friends and neighbors and peers. And yeah, you're right. As you get older and you're living in your home in the community, your world kind of shrinks. Your friends start to pass away. Your family may be busy taking care of their families. You're not working anymore. You're involved less in social clubs, things like that. You may not be able to drive anymore to get out. So your world shrinks. And that can be very taxing and make someone feel really isolated. So, yeah, sometimes a move to a community where people are your age, there's structured activities going on, you have a social outlet, that can, you know, allow someone to blossom again.
And it might be kind of strange, though, too, because they could be going from completely solitary and then feel like there's an invasion of their privacy or that the lack of independence. Can they continue to have their martinis at night? Can they go out and have a cigar on the lanai? Are those things that are still allowed in these kinds of places?
Yeah, and you know, another big question is, can we have pets? Can I bring my cat? Can I bring my dog who's 12 years old?
Can they?
And the answer is, yeah, most facilities do. They are pet friendly. Most facilities do allow they have happy hours, structured happy hours, or they may allow you to have alcohol, or they may serve wine in the dining room at dinner time.
Mm-hmm. So it's not as constrictive. I mean, I guess they're going to be obviously able to keep an eye on your medications too, as far as that interfering with alcohol too. There's diabetes and things that could have an impact on that.
And when you're admitted into an assisted living facility, because it is licensed and a nursing assessment is involved in that admission process, a unique plan of care will be developed for each person. So it may not be that alcohol is going to be recommended to some residents, but for others who can safely manage that on their own or can have it supplied by the dining room team, sure, it's a possibility.
I wanted to ask you real quick about the cost of assisted living and independent living and different things. I know that we can't put, fine point on the actual cost of this. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of like signing a lease at an apartment?
Yes.
And it's got like an annual lease or a six-month deal?
For assisted living communities, generally it's a 30-day notice. So you're going month to month. Mm-hmm. Some independent communities, every community is going to have you sign a lease. The lease is generally, though, more related to the regulatory requirements, the things they have to advise you of upon admission into their community. So a lease is not typically like a tenant-landlord lease that you would sign in an apartment building, but it's just saying what they're what they are obliged to do for you, and then some structure around what they expect of you as their resident there.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, assisted living communities are month to month and with a 30-day or 60-day notice to move.
And you pay every month. Now, so how much does it cost to be in assisted living? And I know that how much care you need is going to dictate the price on the skilled nursing and things. But I mean, on average.
I would say with services in Lee County, generally $3,500 to $5,500 a month, and that's very variable. Memory care is a facet of assisted living, and that's usually a secured neighborhood that provides a much higher level of care. It's not skilled nursing, but it's part of under the assisted living licensure. And so generally, if you're in memory care, that's going to be a little bit more, say, between $5,000 and $8,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. And that is paid for out of pocket 100%, or does insurance cover this, or how does that work?
There are some long-term care policies that do have riders for what they usually call alternate care facilities. So the old long-term care insurance policies used to be strictly for skilled nursing facilities. Now some of the newer policies are allowing for alternate forms of care, like home care in the home or care to be provided in an assisted living facility. So sometimes that can be a payer source if you have long-term care insurance. Read your contract. Medicaid in some situations subsidizes a portion of that, but Medicaid is a program that you have to have income and asset. There are limitations to that program. So generally we're looking at out-of-pocket.
How does a person wade through all this and know all this and discover what they're entitled to get or what they can claim, or how do they know this? Do they have to come to someone like you to help navigate these waters, or how does that work?
That's a good question. I say to a lot of people, sometimes you don't even know what you don't know. So there are experts out there. There are companies that provide transitional care for people, or like consultative placement resources for people. I'm a what I used to be called a geriatric care manager. That sounds
no, nobody likes the word geriatric anymore. What happened to that word? All of a sudden, it became unfavorable.
Yeah, so now I'm a certified aging life care manager. So I'm credentialed through a national organization. I'm a social worker by background to become a certified aging life care manager. It's generally someone who's worked in the geriatric industry, a therapist, a nurse practitioner, a nurse. or a social worker. And yeah, this is what we do. We know a little bit about legal financial resources, medical resources, community-based resources, just about anything in the realm of senior care living. We help get people pointed in the right direction and hook them up with the resources that best fit their needs.
Yeah.
And Jan, when you first started looking into this, how overwhelming was this for you?
Oh, completely overwhelming. I waded through all of this entirely on my own. I had no idea there was someone like Chris available.
So what kind of advice would you give to someone who's just facing this mountain of information?
The first thing I would suggest is don't wait until someone has a fall or a stroke or whatever that is. Go now while your head is clear, while your parents' head is clear. Look at a few facilities. Look at the prices. Find out what's available, because you're in a state of trauma when this is actually happening. There's also the other thing that Chris mentioned. There's the little thing called the waiting list. Just because you're ready doesn't mean that these facilities will have an availability for when you need to go. So that's I think the most important thing is don't wait until you need the facilities. Go and look in advance and reach out to, again, if I had known someone like Chris was available, I would have been delighted to know it. I had to just struggle through it the hard way. And I had to navigate the waters all by myself.
So did you take your mom on a tour of the different places and look at them with her? Or did you check them out first and then pick out your favorites and take her to take a look at it? Is that how you did that?
Yes, I went and I looked at the facilities myself first because I just wanted to. I didn't want to drag her around and give her any negative experience.
Oh, especially if you found one you didn't like. You don't want her to see
I that. Wanted to, you know, weed any potential problem out so that when I gave her the tour, it was a happy, isn't this lovely, wonderful. And in her words, when we finished the tour, she said, what's not to like?
Yeah.
Yeah, she really did. She really did love the facility.
So she was happy with it. And then she had to go home to her home and probably was just like, well, let's just get a move on. And you kind of get impatient.
Well, what happened was that I was very fortunate that in Colusa Harbor, where she went, they bring their own beds, tables, and that kind of a thing. So I had a company called Honest and True Moving move her bedroom set from her mobile home to Colusa, and in 3 hours after she had lunch and she was going around, she went up the elevator, opened the door, and she was in her own room with her own comforter and teddy bear and pictures on the wall. So that was a beautifully smooth transition as well.
So that worked out pretty well.
Mm-hmm. It worked out really well.
And Chris, you're going to be the speaker next week at a senior living symposium that's going to be on the 23rd. And there's more for seniors to think about than just the housing. Tell me a little bit about what's going to be on the docket for that day.
I think there will be experts from various levels of care, so independent living, assisted living, memory care, skilled nursing facility, and CCRC, which stands for Continuing Care Retirement Committee. It's another flavor of a senior living environment. There will be home care experts there. There will be lawyers there to talk about the legal financial plan that can go along with housing and services. There'll be a whole host of various providers, and we'll be talking about aging in place, which is kind of a new industry term that's used.
Okay. Well, it sounds like there's going to be a lot for people to learn about. And I wanted to thank you for coming in today. We do have links to you and this event on our website at wgcunews.org. Thanks for coming in to talk and clear up some of that information about senior living in Southwest Florida. Because if you're not investigating it yourself, you just haven't even approached it. It's a lot to think about. So, and also I wanted to thank Jan Clark for coming in and telling us about your experience with your mom and moving into Colusa Harbor. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Coming up, lawmakers are hiding millions of dollars for pet projects inside school budgets, and there's no oversight on how that money is spent. We talk with the reporter who broke that story coming up next. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn.